Everyone is talking about magnesium. It's all you hear about. But why? What do we know about magnesium? Well, magnesium is the number one mineral that 75% of Americans are deficient in. If you are a woman over 35, magnesium will help you rediscover balance, energy, and vitality. Magnesium supports more than 300 enzymatic reactions in your body, including those involved in hormonal balance. From functional medicine doctors to mental well-being and female hormone experts, we all know that magnesium is the one mineral to improve all aspects of well-being and health. But which one? Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, the trusted choice recommended by leading experts, with 7 best-absorbed forms of magnesium to ensure your body receives the support it needs for overall well-being. Go to bioptimizers.com/balance today and use code BALANCE10 for 10% off. Support your journey to wellness at bioptimizers.com/balance. Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, your foundation to optimal health and vitality.
Welcome to Stupidity, home of the greatest media mind ever to walk the planet.
Okay, so here's the deal. He's a true icon in every sense of the word.
He's loved and feared more than any being to grace this planet.
There's two guys. A man with a voice that sounds like Barry White and Beyonce had a Jewish baby.
God himself would pay $39.99 for a cameo. Fact of the matter is, you are about to embark on a transcendent experience that can only be described as psychological nudity.
This is Stugatz, and this is Stupidity.
Here we go, Jim.
Tony!
Welcome into another episode of Stupidity, the biggest podcast in the world, thanks to you. Please subscribe, rate and review, unsubscribe, resubscribe, re-rate, re-review. By doing that, you have made us the biggest podcast in the world. We are brought to you by DraftKings. Also brought to you by our friends at ZipRecruiter. Hiring again? ZipRecruiter finds top talent for you. Try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/StuPod. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. What's going on, fellas?
You know. Another week. How's it going, Stugatz? How's it going?
No, I don't know. That's why I asked you what's going on, fellas.
What do you mean, what's going on? We have actually, run our test. Well, Meta World Peace, I should say.
Meta World Peace. It's actually very fair, Billy. I spend more time with you than I spend with my wife. I should know exactly what's going on with you. I mean, yeah. Sorry about that. Yeah.
How do you feel about that, by the way?
About what? About spending more time with you than I do with my wife?
Yeah.
Not great.
Yeah, same. How do you think your wife?
I want a top three on how Billy is better than your wife and how he's worse.
Oh, wow.
He does for me. He does more for me than my wife. He spends less of my money than my wife.
I spend none of your money.
I've never paid you. I mean, Well, that's a great question, Mike. That is it. He's way more organized.
I said three. Don't go getting divorced now.
Now I'm rolling.
Yeah. What's worse? I don't think Billy appreciates me nearly as much as my wife, although I do think he appreciates me. I don't think Billy trusts me nearly as much as my wife does, although that's earned. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Loyalty is about a push, I think, slightly towards Billy. I mean,
just wait.
Wait till what? What are you going to do?
Just wait.
My wife's a lot more attractive. Okay?
Oh, wow.
Yes. Right. Why, you're insulted by that? I mean, you're a good-looking guy. Don't get me wrong. I mean, certainly more attractive than you, Mikey, eh?
Well, that's not hard.
Poor Mikey.
I feel like Billy's as loyal as his options.
Yeah. Mikey A gets it.
Yeah.
Anyway, we have Meta World Peace coming on. This is very exciting. Mike, you and I are excited because he's from New York. He's a St. John's guy. I'm a St. John's fan. He's a big Knicks fan. Did he play for the Knicks? Meta ever play? He did, right?
He was on the roster.
Yeah, he's from New York. We're excited.
Yeah. Just an interesting guy, though.
Yeah, he is a he's an interesting guy. Billy, how do you imagine this is going to go? Because the last time he was on our show, it got a little contentious with him and Levitard, which is why he's coming on Stupidity. He wants nothing to do with Levitard.
I like Meta. I think it's going to go well.
I like Meta, too. I'm just not certain because we've had him on so many times over the last 20 years. Sometimes great, sometimes not so great. It's kind of hit or miss with Meta World Peace, but I'm interested to see where he's at in his life. So let's find out together. Stu Gatz here for my friends over at Miller Lite. A lot's changed over the years. One thing that hasn't, the great taste of Miller Lite. It was the original light beer, and to this day, it's still the best one. Miller Lite has more of the taste you want and less of the stuff you don't. And listen, the NBA playoffs are here. I cannot tell you how many times I have drowned my sorrows because of the New York Knicks, and I have drowned them in ice-cold Miller Lights. But hopefully, hopefully, there is hope. This year, I'll be celebrating my New York Knickerbockers. How about that? Miller Lite keeps it simple, undebatable quality, great taste, only 96 calories. It's the beer that strips away everything you don't need and holds on to what matters most. The original light beer since 1975. Times change, but you can always enjoy the great taste of Miller Lite. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/stew, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces.
Texting privacy policy and terms and conditions posted at textplan.us. Texting enrolls for recurring automated text marketing messages. Message and data rates may apply. Reply stop to opt out. Individual results may vary. Consult a doctor prior to use.
You've lost so much weight. How'd you do it?
I got medical treatment for weight loss through Zelty and lost 50 pounds. I struggled for the longest time, but Zelty makes it easy and affordable to get weight loss treatment 100% online. Zelty providers can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications clinically shown to help people lose weight, like Wegovy, Zepbound, and others.
I've heard those medications can help you lose weight, but aren't they expensive?
Zelty can help get the medication covered by insurance, so it's as little as $0 a month.
What if you don't have insurance?
No problem. Zelty may be able to help you get other GLP-1 medications for 80 to 90% off the price of name brand medications.
I'm ready to start losing weight. How do I get started with Zelty?
Just text.
Text LOSE to 200-300 to get started today with Zelty and see if weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound are right for you. Don't wait. Text now for a link to your exclusive offer. Text LOSE to 200-300. That's LOSE to 200-300. LOSE to 200-300.
All right, one of my favorite players of all time, one of my favorite athletes of all time, Meta World Peace with us. He has a new podcast out. Check out Meta's podcast, Metaphorically Speaking, available now on Podcast One. Meta, why'd you decide to get into the podcast game, man?
You know, well, nice to be here too, guys. You know, I actually had my podcast 2014. Okay. I had a podcast called Metaphorically Speaking. We did about four video shows, about an hour long. We recorded it, and then we didn't really know how to distribute it from there, so we just put it in the can. And then now, here we are, 2021, and a couple of my people was like, hey, let's do a podcast. I said, okay, let's do a podcast. And I was like, oh, wow, I still got that name, Metaphorically Speaking. How about we just use that? And, you know, these podcasts, pretty much you just get people on, you just talk about what they want to talk about.
Right.
And that's where we are, Metaphorically Speaking. We don't really have like a theme, but, you know, it is what it is.
Do you talk about some of the things you want to talk about, though, not just what they want to talk about?
Oh, no, I do. Like, I'm actually just interested in people, you know, like I was always when I was doing a podcast, it was actually, you know, a platform where people could kind of, you know, get their message out, obviously, but I'm always interested in what other people are doing. So I actually did. I got a chance to talk to Dr. Drew. I got a chance to talk to Tyson, you know, and just like asking different questions. It was fun.
Who's the person you haven't had on yet that you would love to get on the podcast?
I mean, probably Celine Dion, Mary J. Blige, probably SWV, Dr. Neil deGrasse, probably Joe Montana. He's doing some cool stuff.
Billy, why did you make that face when he said Celine Dion? Why'd you make that face?
I didn't think Celine Dion would be at the top of the list. I got to be honest with you. It caught me by
surprise. He didn't pause either. He just went Celine Dion.
Yeah.
Why Celine Dion?
I mean, she's one of the greatest vocalists we've ever seen.
Yes.
You know, Whitney Houston is up there also.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the greatest vocalists. And, you know, if you love vocals, you love music, you love them, right? So that's like, it's, you know, music is just something we need. And she's at the pinnacle.
Celine Dion's Titanic song is actually what I will sing at karaoke sometimes. I don't hit all the notes, but I'm with you on that. Do you ever do that at karaoke? You sing the Titanic song?
Certain songs I can't sing. That song is a song that I can almost sing.
I don't believe there's songs that we can't sing. I don't buy that whole I can't thing. I think we could do it.
No, there's things you can't do. For sure I can't sing certain songs.
Wait, so Meta, what is your go-to karaoke song? What is the song you go to? Like,
that's a good pick, actually. I got a clip on YouTube where I was singing karaoke Celine Dion, actually. Ron Artest, Celine Dion, you'll see it pop up on YouTube.
Really?
Yeah.
That seems like, I don't know, like people always say when you're watching like American Idol, you don't want to try to sing a Celine Dion song. You don't want to try to sing a Whitney Houston song because you're going to embarrass yourself. Yeah, so I'm surprised that's a selection for you.
It was really bad. I embarrassed myself.
Yeah. I want to hear you try it right now.
Yeah, but who cares? It's about having fun. It's about saying something that speaks to your soul. You
every
know what I mean?
Night
about,
in my dreams, I see you.
Yes.
I feel you.
No, I'm saying it's that note, that one right there.
No, wait you a got second. That.
Wait, Billy, are you willing to try this together? A duet?
A
you
duet, yeah, of course. Yes. 100%. I'm bringing up the lyrics right now.
Okay. All right. This is so exciting. I'm so excited. We'll get to your league in a second. Metaphorically speaking. Go.
Metaphorically speaking. Anyway.
No, you don't. All right. So Billy is pulling up the lyrics for us right now. This is fantastic. I'll sneak in a basketball question. Why Billy? Oh, no, he has him. All right. He has it. All right. So forget it. Let's forget about basketball for a
moment. All right, Meta, do you know the lyrics or are you looking them up? Should we do like line to line? What do you want to do here?
I mean, let's just go as far as we can go.
Okay. All right. You can start.
All right. Every night in my dreams, I see you.
I feel you. That is how I know you. Go on.
Far across
the distance and spaces
between us,
you have come to show you. Go on.
All right, the famous part is coming.
Yeah, here we go.
Near,
far,
wherever
you are, I believe that the heart does.
Go on.
I love Meta choreographing the entire thing with his finger. Meta World Peace with us, metaphorically speaking, is the name of the podcast. Check it out wherever you get your podcasts. Available now, actually, on Podcast One. What is going on with the league? You have a X versus X sports league. What's going on there?
This is great as a pro. So we have an application where we have leagues, and we're launching our first pro league in Los Angeles, a women's pro league and a men's pro league. It's on November 14th is the men's, first men's game. And November 16th is the women's game. It's going to be at the YMCA, Mid-Valley YMCA in Van Nuys. On the 14th, which is a Sunday, we start at about 2 p.m. We go for about 5 hours. And then on Tuesdays, we start at about 8 p.m. For the women's. It'll be men's on Sundays, women's on Tuesdays, and come out. Anybody can come out, bring your family, you know, enjoy some good winter pro basketball. And one of my goals is to bring pro basketball back to America. You know, we do have the NBA, obviously. That's the big elephant in the world. Then you have the G League, right? And then you have a lot of other leagues. But overseas is something that is big leagues overseas, but a lot of our players here in America, they don't always want to go overseas, right? So my goal is to get the support of America and really support another local pro league, which I'm launching. I think it's going to be great. It'll be a great pipeline to the G League, a great pipeline, you know, to the NBA, hopefully. And then maybe some overseas teams. But I do believe that right now we have an opportunity right here in America to have some more pro sports, you know, the same way they have overseas.
That's a good job out of you, Meta. That's a great job out of you. Defensive Player of the Year in 2004, 2010, NBA champion. Let's start with the defense because you were known as one of the great defensive players ever. The toughest guy for Meta World Peace to defend was blank.
I probably got to say Jordan.
He was the toughest, right? Okay, but you guarded Kobe. Like
I guarded Kobe. I guarded LeBron. I just think Jordan was tough because he was 38 years old, for one. And then he retired twice, came back at 40 against us one game. And I played against him in the summertime a lot. And I just don't recall anyone being that much of a threat against me, even though guys play well against me and, you know, play pretty good basketball. But Michael Jordan was just different.
Did he talk shit to you or what?
No, Mike never talked shit. He never talked trash to me.
Really?
I've never heard Mike say, I've seen him talk to other people, but, you know, when I was playing against Mike, I think, you know, Mike really didn't expect someone like that to defend him. I don't think he probably has some really great defenders. I'm not going to downplay anybody, but I just remember Mike telling me to come back to the gym when I was 19 years old. He's like, make sure you come back, make sure you come back. And he wasn't teaching me how to play. He wasn't giving me any tips. He liked the competitive nature. It wasn't like he was saying, you know, hey, Ron, do a jab step like this, shoot like this. There was no mentorship.
He wanted the challenge.
That challenge. I was 19 and I was in his ass.
Because what I love about Meta World Peace is you don't give a bleep who the guy is. You don't give a shit. You're up in his face. And so Michael wasn't. My guess is Michael was not used to that. He was like, hey, this kid ain't intimidated by me. He ain't sweating me. He's up in my face trying to guard me.
I love Mike. I just those moments that I had in the summertime. And then obviously we played against him in the NBA. You can't pay for those moments. As a kid, I looked up to Mike, and to be at the, you know, just to be at the same room as Mike, right? As a kid,
crazy,
right? Like it was just. But then again, you know, I'm a real competitor. So I mean, I didn't see much. You know, I was grinding out there, and he was, and you know, I didn't hear any trash talking. You know what I'm saying? But with that being said, it wasn't like he wasn't playing well. He did play very well, and that's something I'll remember for, you know, for the rest of my life.
One of the many things I love about you is you could still see the kid inside you. Even as you were telling that story, you're still floored by the fact that you guarded Michael Jordan and were in the same room as him.
It's just crazy. I mean, I work my, you know, I'm a passionate guy.
Yeah.
I wear my emotions on my sleeve sometimes. And those moments like that, I mean, we do evolve and we grow up. We're men. I'm 41 years old. I'm not 19 anymore. But it's certain things in your life that you cherish. You know what I'm saying? It's certain things, certain people you want to be like that you still cherish, like people like Mike Tyson, like, you know, like Celine Dion, like Michael Jordan, like Mary J. Blige. Like it's certain people that you still love and they always make you feel the same way.
All right. So Michael didn't talk any trash to you because he respected you. That would be my best guess.
I don't know why
guess.
He didn't. I can't say that. I just know because, I didn't hear nothing.
Because Meta, you weren't scared of him. That would be my guess. You weren't scared of him. But I'm wondering who was the best trash talker in the NBA when you played?
I got to say, Paul was an amazing trash talker because, I mean, Paul paired up, but I love Paul. He's my brother. we had a little personal rivalry.
Of course.
But I love Paul. You know, I think he's the best trash talker because when you're talking trash against me, you really got to back it up, right? You got to be so ready to back it up. So, you know, it's really hard. Nobody talked trash to me. Kobe talked a couple times because I started it, actually. But, right. You know, my brother Kobe, a lot of people didn't talk trash to me, not even really good players. When I see them talking, you know, I see them talking trash to other people. But when I come on the gym, it's a different look. You know what I'm saying? It's a different look.
When you say you started it with Kobe, like, give us an example. Like, what kind of shit were you talking to Kobe?
One day I knew but Kobe's just so good, right? So one day he came to the gym and I said, you know what? You need to open your mouth and talk a little trash because he's going to get 30 and 40. He's one of the few guys that was like going to get those numbers. And I'm like, I'm not going out silent.
Sure.
So I just had to start saying something to him. I'm like, you know, I told him he wasn't good, all this stuff. He still had like 40.
Still had 40. Yeah. I would say that's a good job out of you if he just had 40, though.
No. That's not great. 40 is not normal for me. People don't score 40.
Okay, that's fine. Listen, I know how close you were with Kobe. I am wondering, and I know you miss him dearly, and I think, you know, sports fans across the world miss him dearly. The lesson that you, the most valuable lesson you learned about how to live your life from Kobe Bryant was blank.
Oh, man. I would say
he taught you a lot. I know, Ron.
He did, man. He beyond basketball.
Right.
Like, you see him work on the court, then you see him work off the court. Mm-hmm. You know, you go to his office and you see his Wizardry series of books. Yeah. You'll see him making edits, his own edits, 7 books that didn't come out yet. You know, pages stacked, I would say, 2 feet high or 1.5 feet high, 7 different books. I mean, that's really impressive. And then you see what Body Armor did this week. Right, Body Armor sells for $5 billion or whatever the case may be.
Mm-hmm.
He was he actually gave me and Julius Randle an opportunity to invest in that deal in 2014. he was on the back of the bus, but you know, like those type of things. He's a focused guy, and he helped me a lot with business. Like just talking to him and seeing what he's doing, because I was a guy where I put all my eggs like. And passion, you know, that's what my business was. My business was passion.
Right.
You know, I wasn't thinking about nothing else. And then when my career's over, you know, I had to go back to my roots, which was math and architecture. And then when I was trying to put it together and how I can make a business out of it, right? So from basketball, you know, to business, I think he really, you know, he helped me out tremendously.
Did you invest? Did Julius invest?
Oh, now I don't know if Julius invested in Body Armor. Maybe he did, but I didn't.
Are you surprised Julius Randle has turned into this kind of player?
No, I was working with Julius with the Lakers. I'm not surprised. I was in with Julius during his early years at times. You know, we worked a lot. Then he took it. He went to the next level. He found the correct trainers that could help him out. And now he's taking it to the next level on the court. I'm not surprised because, like, when I was working with Julius, it was just he's moving too fast. That was it.
Really?
Moving too fast. And he didn't have a lot of pivots. And he really didn't know how to maneuver, you know, away from contact. He's a big boy. So he always went the grind. But he's so athletic and so quick and so smooth, he don't really need the bump all the time. You see him now, you see that jumper just clicking, going off the right, going off the left. Kobe, it looked like he learned some stuff from Kobe. He's shooting 3-pointers, all-star. I'm not surprised. I'm really, really happy.
So what you're saying is, like, this is interesting, fascinating to me. You're saying that he was moving too quickly, so maybe the mind was moving a lot faster than the body, and you just got him to slow down and relax a little bit?
I'm not going to say I did total all of that.
But you helped, right.
I helped out a little bit, you know, just being in the gym, you know, just talking, and I'm really honored that I had the opportunity to work with him, because now you see him playing well, and he's a man now, and he's going to take that to the next level. You know, his jumper is looking really solid. And one of the things I was always asking him to do, practice how you play. You know, and that's a simple task, and you work on it and you just do it. And he has the skills and the talent, you know, to be great. And now he's running with it. And that jumper is just smooth as can be.
Meta, I love that you take a great deal of pride in helping people become a better version of themselves, whether it's athletically, whether it's on the court, off the court, and giving people opportunity. But you seem to really enjoy just helping people out.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. So, you know, with that being said, I mean, I think I have a natural instinct, you know, for coaching. Even when I was playing and into my career, I'm really competitive. When I was with the Knicks, I mean, every practice, I was literally probably the last one to leave a lot of the practices, but I was still helping and mentoring from a passionate perspective, you know, from a place of like playing one-on-one. Like, I played against Tim Hardaway Jr. one-on-one a lot. Those were grind out games. Played against Shump, you know, played against Tyson, even though he's both at the end of my career, but we played every day. You know, maybe every day, actually.
It's crazy.
You know, we played, and then with the Knicks playing against, I mean, with the Lakers playing against Brandon Ingram. You know, and it's more thing like, let's play so you can get better. You know what I'm saying? And then also, I need to grind because I'm not getting in the game. So
Check out his podcast, Metaphorically Speaking. It is out right now. Also, X versus X Sports League. I am wondering, 2003, what did Riley say to you to get you all pissed off? Like, what, come on, we're down here in South Florida. We love Riley. I'm wondering what he said to you.
He didn't say anything. That game was real intense. You know, Pacers, okay. Miami Heat. That was actually a rivalry building. That okay. could have been a good rivalry, right?
Yes.
I mean, imagine me and Dwayne Wade in the playoffs. I mean, we beat him in the playoffs, but imagine a second run at the playoffs and me and Dwayne. Wouldn't that have been something?
No, it would have been great. It would have been
that
great.
That would have been something.
But Riley didn't say anything.
He didn't say nothing. It was the other guy, Askins.
Oh, I think God.
Keith said something. Keith Askins.
Wait, so Keith Askins, who sits on the bench and does crossword puzzles, actually got up and started talking shit to you?
I don't know if he was talking trash. He might have said something, and I was actually going back to talk to him, and then Riley was right there. Riley was like, hey, calm down. I'm like, hey, this has nothing to do with you. Get out of my way.
But Riley seems like the kind of guy you would gravitate towards. Am I right?
I love Riley. Riley of the Knicks. Of course I love Riley.
Right. And here's what I love, because I'm a Knicks fan, and Mikey A with the beard down in the corner there, he is also a Knicks fan. You're glowing because the Knicks are back. Say it, Meta. The Knicks are back, right?
Let's go. I'm not going to trifecta. I'm in a mix between Lakers, Knicks and Pacers. That's my triangle. I'm sticking to the triangle, by the way, Phil Jackson. I am not abandoning the triangle like everyone else.
What do you make of what Scottie Pippen said recently? He's got a book out talking about Jordan and Jordan. Basically, Scottie has lived in that shadow. And I would say that's a pretty good shadow to live in. And perhaps Scottie should stop taking shots at Jordan, because the reason we remember Scottie as such a great player is in part because of Michael Jordan. They helped each other out.
Well, I think the reason you remember Michael Jordan is because Michael Jordan, for one, but also those marketing machines, right? If you have a Nike commercial in your face every single day, Ron Artest is going to be like, oh, wow. If they did that with Pippen, I would have been like, oh, wow, Pippen, right? I was interested in the best on the team. But with that being said, Scottie's competitive. And the same way Jordan gave that Hall of Fame speech and he went at everyone, right? We are all competitive as humans, right? Some people are more competitive than others. So Scottie Pippen is like his Hall of Fame speech. This is like, he's not going to go out like that, you know, in the light that he felt. He didn't want to be portrayed. He wanted to be portrayed as great. He don't want to be in Michael Jordan's shadow. And Scottie didn't, you know, he didn't executive produce or produce that The Last Dance. You know, the producers did, and they probably didn't go to Scottie and say, Scottie, how do you want to be portrayed? Right? Without Scottie, you know, maybe Mike only wins three. We don't know.
It's fair.
You know what I'm saying? Maybe Mike only wins three, or who knows? But with that
So you think Scottie earned and should have been afforded the opportunity to have some say in how that thing was portrayed? I happen to agree with you. I think that's a great take.
He's Scottie Pippen.
Yeah.
Scottie Pippen. The only difference between Scottie Pippen and Michael Jordan is obviously Michael Jordan's I think he's a better player. Right. Obviously, I believe Michael Jordan's a better player. But, you know, Michael Jordan is a hell of a businessman and, you know, a genius when it comes to marketing. And you see how him and Nike partnered on marketing is incredible. You know, if Scottie was thinking along those lines when he played, he could have had something incredible. Right. Maybe he should have signed with another company because, you know, everything is going to Michael. Now it went to Kobe. Then he goes to LeBron. Right. Scottie didn't have the opportunity. So all the stuff we're seeing in media is all Michael Jordan. Scottie doesn't like that. I think I think whoever produced that show should have called Scottie and said, how do you want to be portrayed during your part? You know, it's like a producer can't say, okay, we want you to look like this. You didn't play basketball. You don't know how I feel. You know, I don't really care about my high school, what I did in high school or where I'm from in Arkansas. Let's talk about something else. And I think that's where they got it wrong. I'm a Scottie Pippen and Michael Jordan fan.
The problem is the executive producer was Michael Jordan.
Was he really the executive producer?
I mean, he had final say on everything. So maybe your producer suggested, hey, we should call Scotty. And Michael's like, eh, I'm good with that. I'm good.
No, I can see his frustration. You know, I mean, if anybody can talk trash to Mike, it's Scotty.
It's Scotty, yes.
Let's get them in the same room. I'll moderate it. Right, I'll be in between. Nobody gonna fight because I'm there, right? So yes. You know, we just gonna talk it out and let's see these guys go at it.
Meta World Peace is brokering peace. I love this. Yes.
I'm not brokering peace. I want to see the drama. No,
you're right. You're on the right path there.
I'm gonna say this. I think it would be entertaining to see those two guys talk.
I agree with you in the middle, with you moderating. I would like if you that put that on me. If you put that on pay-per-view, I would pay money for it. I think Billy, if you put Meta World Peace in a room with Jordan and Pippen and just you let them talk, and who knows where the hell it's gonna go, okay? Next thing you know, Jamal Tinsley's walking in with a broom. I'll get to that in a second. Billy, you wouldn't watch that?
Meta, if you ever get the chance, you need to save it for Metaphorically Speaking, obviously.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah, I can't see Michael Jordan coming on Metaphorically Speaking.
Why not? Wait, who do you see coming on Metaphorically Speaking first? Michael Jordan or Celine Dion?
Maybe Michael Jordan. Actually, no, I can. Maybe Jordan. Oh, out of those two?
Yeah.
If I had to pick one?
Yes. Oh, my God.
Who would say yes? They're both such big stars.
Oh, my God.
Well, have you met Celine Dion?
Michael, because I spoke to Michael twice on the phone in my whole life.
Right.
And Celine did give me tickets to see her perform.
What?
What?
How did that happen?
I was trying to go to a Celine Dion concert and I couldn't get in. I called my manager. I said, can you please figure something out? And she knew I was a fan because I was always talking about her. And then boom, 8 tickets. Oh my goodness. It's crazy.
That 8 tickets?
8.
Oh my God. Wait, like where? Where?
Oh, we had good seats. No. We had great seats, like, and you know, the top, but like perfect view.
Perfect view. Did you get a chance to meet her?
I took a picture. Yeah, she let us come down after the show. It's on YouTube. I swear to you.
Meta, you showed up with no tickets and got 8 seats and got backstage.
Hey, listen. I was with all my dudes from the hood. Like, you know what I'm saying? I'm all my dudes, like, my dude, jail time, all that, right? So we go. They say, where are we going? I said, we going to Celine Dion concert. So they was like, I don't want to see Celine Dion. I'm like, man, let's go see Celine Dion. So we go see Celine Dion. And halfway through the show, like 4 of them start crying. That's how dope she was.
Ah, yes!
So we about halfway through the show, they were like, I'm like, yo, what y'all crying for?
Were you crying?
I was crying. I was feeling it. You know what I'm saying? I was feeling it.
But you're not.
After she took a picture, it's on YouTube. It's on Google. Go to Google. Ron Artest, Celine Dion. You'll see the picture.
Oh my God.
Oh my dude.
This is amazing. But listen. You're not afraid to cry. You're not embarrassed to cry. You'll cry.
I want to cry. I don't care.
Of course. I mentioned Jamal Tinsley in the broom, and that came out of nowhere. It was obscure. I've always meant to ask you this. I don't want to rehash the whole Malice of the Palace.
Okay, yeah.
You've done that 1,000 times.
Yes,
okay? I don't want to do it. And Jermaine O'Neal just did it in a documentary, and it was fantastic. But what was Tinsley trying to achieve with the broom? That's the only question I have.
He came out
with a broom.
Hey, you know what? We need to get Jamal. There's a lot of people from the brawl that didn't get a chance to talk out.
Right.
I would love to hear their perspectives. But the broom is, I mean, 20 years later, I think it's kind of funny.
It is. It's really funny. Yes. It's like the only thing I remember.
Hey, but you know what was crazy?
What?
That broom saved a couple people, man. It's some angles that y'all didn't see that we saw. We was like, wow.
Really? Like what? Like
one chair was spinning this way, flat.
What?
Spinning over the head, almost kind of. It was just like wow, a bunch of crazy scenes that y'all didn't see.
Holy shit! How did the broom save people though? Like how did that?
Well, I'm assuming that he was right. I don't know. Wizard of Oz, which fly away. I think he actually tried to fly away. Did you see that part?
Yeah, I did see that part. Meta, I need to have you on again. I think I want to have you on with Celine Dion.
Okay, yeah, that's going to happen.
No, because no, Meta's enjoying himself. I would like to have you on more often if that's possible.
Yeah, let's do it.
Really quick, before we get you out of here, I just have a few questions. Your favorite Halloween candy is blank.
Candy corn, I think it's called.
Oh, no.
Oh, wow. Meta, oh, Billy's no. so upset. Billy
candy corn.
So upset. What's the matter?
Give me 100 of those. I'll eat them all. Get sick.
I am with you. I love candy corn.
It's like eating you. Wax.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I said. Let's get sick.
What does a Meta World Peace Halloween look like? We just had Halloween. Like, what'd you do? Do you go all out with the house?
On average, if I can tell you the most types of Halloweens I had, it was throwing eggs. That was like, I had more Halloween throwing eggs than anything else. And I'm talking about, man, buying cases of eggs, going out at night, putting eggs in a sock, putting a lot of flour in the sock, freezing the sock, playing manhunt, hitting each other. Like, it was wild in the hood.
We had a night called Mischief Night in New York before. You had the same thing? Mischief Night was the night before Halloween, where you go out and just do anything. Like what you were just describing.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
I mean, you know what? Those eggs would have been really good if they was cooked, but man, oh, man. We used to go to the store and get maybe 10, 20 dozens and just, like, let people have it. Some people would take it too much and freeze the eggs. I'm like, come on, man. Why are you freezing the eggs? I'm taking my head off.
We'll let you go on this note. Metaphorically speaking, check it out. Podcast One. New episodes are available, plus the X versus X Sports League, which Meta has going on as well. You're doing fantastic stuff. I am wondering here, the player today that reminds you the most, the player today, Meta, that reminds you the most of the Meta World Peace is who?
I'm gonna say this. The player I would have liked to be like, because my career was cut short due to instability. I don't think I hit my potential. But okay. The player I would like to have been like is like Kawhi. I would have loved to play like Kawhi.
Really?
Yeah.
You've been on with us a bunch over the years. You seem like you're in the best place you've ever been in right now. Like you seem you're in a really happy, fun place right now.
I really am. A lot of reasons. I really am though. So many reasons. And just, you know, older, being older, and then also like, you know, being around people who kind of know what I want. You know, when I first made it into the NBA and stuff like that, you know, I was I don't think I was around people that kind of got me. You know what I'm saying? For many levels, you know, I got goals, I got dreams, I'm a different type of person. And I think I'm just like doing exactly what I want to do. And still, basketball is at the center of my life still, you know, so it feels good for basketball to still be at the center of my life.
I'm super happy for you, buddy. I really am. I'm happy to hear that. I feel like you could also go in right now, like right now for one night, and you could shut down LeBron right now. I feel like you could do that.
No way.
Hey, come on. Let's be.
Meta's in great shape, man.
I love Meta, but, you know.
Billy, Meta don't give a fuck who you are, dude. He will get right up in your face even right now, and he will defend the shit out of you.
He'll defend the shit out of me, but LeBron is not me.
How many points would LeBron score on you if you guarded him before?
I think right now he'll give me 50. I'm not, maybe
60.
Actually.
If I told you had to go play a game tonight, who would be an easy cover for you? Is there a guy out there?
A rookie.
Yeah, any rookie.
Yeah, put me on the court with 9 rookies. 4 rookies on my team, 5 on the other team. I'll go to work.
All right. Metaphorically speaking, his new podcast is available on Podcast One. Anything else you want to say about the podcast or the league? Anything, Meta?
Yeah, you know, nothing much. I think y'all said it all. And I look forward to coming back on your show hopefully soon.
Oh, my God. I would love for you to come back on the show. If you do, what I will promise you, I can't guarantee it, is I will try to get Celine Dion. I will use your name and the fact that she got you 8 tickets to a concert, if you don't mind. But I want her to hear you and Billy perform her song live, okay?
Well, let's do it. Set it up.
Down.
Okay. Meta, thank you so much, man. I'm super happy for you, buddy.
Thank you.
Billy, you karaoke with Meta World Peace.
I know. Now all we have to do is get Celine Dion with him like you promised, which seems probably impossible.
I'd rather Celine Dion with you right now. I want to hear that duet.
Exactly right. Billy, was that a career highlight for you?
It's definitely added to my list of career things that have happened.
Career can't believe this is my life's.
I mean, yeah. Finny was listening and he loved it. I mean, he really did.
Finny's a big Celine Dion fan from what I remember.
Yes. Now, did I say I would get Celine Dion or did we put that on Meta? I forget how it went.
No, it was you promised Celine Dion and you may have also promised Michael Jordan. A lot goes on. Okay. Lots of empty promises.
Well, I mean, it seems easy. Celine Dion and Michael Jordan.
Yeah, together, the three of them.
Singing.
Meta seems like he's in a great place, does he not? That was fantastic. That was fun with Meta World Peace. That was amazing. I mean, Mikey, I don't know. For me, I know he only played a single game for the Knicks, started a single game. But after that interview, I'm prepared to put him on my all-time Knicks team.
Wow. I mean, if not first team, at least second team.
That was a lot of fun, man. That was, Billy, for me, it was a career highlight hearing you sing Celine Dion with Meta World Peace. It was a career highlight for me, Billy.
Thank you.
You're welcome. You. I don't know. I mean, I've had a lot of highlights, so that was one of them.
Okay? That's stupidity.
It's in my top 100. Okay.
Wow.
How about that? Stupidity. Stu Gatz here for my friends over at Miller Lite. A lot's changed over the years. One thing that hasn't, the great taste of Miller Lite. It was the original light beer, and to this day, it's still the best one. Miller Lite has more of the taste you want and less of the stuff you don't. And listen, the NBA playoffs are here. I cannot tell you how many times I have drowned my sorrows because of the New York Knicks, and I've drowned them in ice-cold Miller Lights. But hopefully, there is hope. This year, I'll be celebrating my New York Knickerbockers. How about that? Miller Lite keeps it simple, undebatable quality, great taste, only 96 calories. It's the beer that strips away everything you don't need and holds on to what matters most. The original light beer since 1975. Times change, but you can always enjoy the great taste of Miller Lite. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/stew, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces.